This is Ira Glass, and you're listening to This American Trip.
Hello, Droom Warriors, and welcome to the 25th episode of This American Drew. I'm your host, Drew Kordick. It is after dark in Frogtown right now. I had a very wonderful day, and I felt like a good way to close it would be recording a podcast. To those of you who have been around since the very beginning, you know, from episode 1 up until now, episode 25, I just want to say thank you so much for sticking by my side and supporting the show and listening and hopefully enjoying it. And maybe even learning a thing or two. I hate to start the show on a negative note, but I just weighed myself on the scale for the first time in a number of years, and I did not like the number I saw. So I'm going to be working on that in the coming weeks.
Get out of here. Duncan, get out of here, dude. Come on. Just beat it.
Stop whining. Go. So yeah, episode 25. Basically, I'm going to be fully candid with you guys. I was really planning on getting, hopefully, some exciting guests today. This is not a bit. Like, I actually reached out to quite a few podcasting heroes and of mine. And, you know, one of them appears, he might be on the show someday, but it's just in timeout right with this. But I took all of that as a sign from God that I should just do the show, you know, by myself, how it was in the beginning, to sort of commemorate 25 episodes. So, you know, there's no bits, there's no, you know, special guests today, there's nothing. It's just me and a microphone, a weird coffee concoction that I've made. A pack of American Spirits sitting at a desk and talking into a microphone. You know, we do a lot of joking around here on the show, but I was actually thinking about making this the last episode of the show. And to be honest, I don't know that I've completely decided whether or not it is going to be the last episode of the show yet. But I still wanted to go out in style, if that is the case. And also just, you know, have this 25th episode be something special for you guys, all the Droom Warriors out there. So I think you know, the lack of guests, and I think the lack of inspiration that I had in writing, you know, some sort of classic This American Drew bit is maybe a blessing in disguise, and maybe was a sign that it's time to sort of return the show to what its more pure form might be, especially if this is going to be the last episode. So today's topic was not suggested by a listener. It was my idea. It's just something that I've been wanting to talk about on the show. Today's topic is queerness, or the idea of queer, what it means and all that jazz. So, I mean, in my lifetime, I remember the word queer being derogatory insult. Towards homosexuals. On the playground, we would play a game called Smear the Queer, where whoever had the ball, you had to tackle them to the ground, and it was a hate crimey title. But, you know, as a kid, I just thought, you know, I didn't associate it with anything like that. But I do remember hearing the word queer, and, you know, even saying the word queer as a derogatory thing towards gay people, specifically gay men, I think. But in recent years, and I think, you know, even before that, I don't think a lot of these movements made their way towards Mokena, Illinois in the early 90s as fast as maybe it did in other parts of the country, but it definitely seems like recently the cultural zeitgeist has shifted a bit, and queerness and the word queer has been adopted as sort of, it's been taken back by the LGBT community as sort of this thing that encompasses, I guess, just all things that aren't straight. And not only that, it also just seems that it encompasses things that also aren't you know, that are not fully, or not cis, gendered. My understanding is that queer can describe a person's sexual orientation or sexual preference, or, you know, their whole gender identity, whether they're male or female, or if they're gender non-conforming or agender, or I believe there's something called two spirits as well. It's almost like an umbrella word for just all these things. And I think that's pretty neat because, you know, the word queer itself, of course, means weird. Like, I mean, in the dictionary, I think before it says anything about LGBT movements or gay or straight people or whatever, the first definition is odd or weird or whatever it says in there. But I like the idea that it is something that's, you know, it's taking back that label weird, you know, and sort of putting all these things that the majority of the population doesn't really seem to understand or doesn't connect with or isn't a part of, and puts it under this umbrella that can sort of describe everything. You know, as I said in the beginning, it seems like this is all kind of some, at least has come on my radar specifically in the last couple of years, and it seems like, you know, last year and this year, in 2016, the queer movement and queer politics and all that stuff is on sort of the forefront of what we're talking about socially, you know, in politics and stuff like that, whether it's, you know, last year it was the whole gay marriage thing. That was last year, right? Either last year or the year before, I can't remember. But, you know, with the whole gay marriage thing, and you know, now it sort of seems like out of nowhere, like this whole transgender movement or transgender, you know, whatever. I don't know what word is ever supposed to follow it, but the transgender discussion has been on the forefront now more than ever, you know, particularly with this stupid election and, you know, Lion Ted. You know, he's no longer in the race, but he was obsessed with this idea of the transgender bathroom situation of it's cool because, I mean, in a lot of ways, like I remember when I was becoming politically aware and sort of figuring out that my views lined up with those on the left in the Democratic Party and stuff like that. Like a lot of these social issues today, I've seen so much progress on that forefront, just not only in my lifetime, but just in the last couple of years. Of course, we've talked about gay marriage on this show before. And by we, I mean me. I think it was episode 2 that I talked about gay marriage. And by talked about gay marriage, I think I really just talked about my breakup that I was going through at the time. But I do think, you know, for me, when I started to become aware of this idea of queer, the word queer and it being something else, was when I met my friend Kelsey, who, you know, diehard fans of the show will remember that I talked about Kelsey in episode 11, the What is Feminism episode, which is a great episode. If you haven't heard it, I go into this whole story about her and how important she was to me. She was a person that was so active in queer rights and not just, you know, LGBT rights, but just this whole idea of gender being a social construct, you know. So she was the first person that I think I really ever really remember having conversations with about gender and gender identity and it being something presented from a thing that people actually go through and not just these sort of political discussions that we were having during this whole Bush regime, where socially our country was not only conservative, it was fascistic. looking back on some of the things that were said on television and in the news and by our quote-unquote leaders today, you know, 10 years later, it would be considered bigotry.
Go out and love.
The one thing, you know, and I had a conversation with this about this with somebody last night over some pastrami. You know, we live in a society now, or at least, you know, I live in Los Angeles, which is hard to even really consider America. It's so different than everywhere else in the country, for better or worse. It's despite being a very conservative state that, for my money, has just kind of been run into the ground by the Republican Party. Socially, we are incredibly liberal, but I'm a part of this whole millennial generation, which is, you know, incredibly liberal. It's sort of this whole, like, everyone is an individual and has the should have the same rights, and people should be able to sleep with whoever they want and believe whatever they want, which is totally great. But the conversation I was having last night with my friend over pastrami was about this whole idea of polyamorous relationships and I don't lump that into queerness. The few poly couples that I know are actually, you know, cisgendered straight people, but it feels like it's a part of this whole generational consciousness that we have and how we relate to sex. And, you know, I don't want to upset anybody when I say this, but I whenever I think of polyamorous relationships and this idea of polyamorousness, it seems like it's just a justification of wanting to be promiscuous and sleep around on your partner. You know, if you have a deal cut out, I guess, between the two of you, where you're, oh, you can fuck whoever you want, I can fuck whoever I want, like, I guess that's cool. But this whole, like, idea that it's something that's normal, it actually, the conservative parts of my views on sex start to get, you know, bells start to go off a little bit for some reason. That's not really what I'm here to talk about. I mean, I think it's great that I am a part of a generation that, you know, is accepting of everybody, you know, and looks at everybody as being a human being. I mean, if somebody were in the closet, you know, now, at least from my vantage point, seems like this is the perfect time to come out, because, you know, there's this whole generation of people who aren't going to burn you at the stake, who believe that you're a human being who has the right to get married and have a family or just have a life in general and not get dragged behind a truck. It seems like 2016 is almost the year to come out of the closet if you're dealing with that sort of thing. Which is why today on the podcast, I'm going to come out of the closet right now. Not a bit. For the last 5 months, little under 5 months, I have been dating men. This will probably come as a shock to some of you, and then others it will probably not surprise you at all. It sure didn't when I came out to my mom. She actually said, I feel like we've had several conversations over the last couple of years that we're leading up to this very moment. You know, I feel like there's even been moments on this podcast where I may have hinted at it. I've always just found the anti-gay argument absolutely absurd. Really, what it comes down to is just people are grossed out by butt sex. I personally have never been to a gay wedding. I really hope that someday I can make it to one. I don't want anyone telling me what I can and can't do in the bedroom. And when I lived in Chicago, I lived in a part of town called Boys Town.
This American.
whenever I've been like, yeah, I could see myself dating guys, and then I felt his penis on my leg, and then I got scared and just ran. We're straight. I mean, I'm mostly straightish.
Play my potential bisexuality is the result of mother-directed resentment that's inside of me. And
1, 2, 3. That's how long I was staring at this boy's penis. Basically, up until about 5 months ago, I probably would have just privately identified myself as questioning or heteroflexible, but maybe that's inaccurate because any sort of non-straight physical contact hadn't really happened up until that point. Long story short, in college, I was in a long-term relationship with a cis woman. I started feeling attracted towards other men and watching a lot of gay porn and fantasizing, etc., etc., and there was a lot of shame there, and I figured that I was just having these thoughts and feelings because I was unhappy in the relationship. But of course, when we broke up, those thoughts and feelings continued.
One night to be confused, one night to speak the truth. We had a promise made, four heads and then away, four thundering fluids.
Now, you know, when I tell people this, which I have told a lot of people, the podcast and professionally is kind of the last place that it's, you know, that I have, that it's yet to come up. Why wait until I'm 27 years old to come out of the closet? You know, I'm asking myself that same question, because, you know, it certainly isn't easy meeting people, you know, when you're in your mid-20s, and you're sober, and you're just recently coming out. You know, as a friend told me, you know, when I started dating guys, you know, I'm not gonna find that high school gay romance I think, you know, I might be looking for or whatever. But this is so fucking weird. You know, I never acted on it. I missed the boat in college because I was too busy getting high, and whenever I would tell people about this stuff that was on my mind, they would be super grossed out or would act like I had just told them that I raped people or that I liked little kids or something. Like, it was insane. Ultimately, it was my choice to keep all these things to myself and inside and, you know, stay closeted for as long as I have. But at the same time, there were a lot of circumstances that didn't cultivate a good environment for somebody who is trying to come out of the closet. And at that point, you know, just thinking about it as, oh, I want to experiment. The reason why I think I waited so long was internal homophobia. You know, and add that to just my general self-hatred that, you know, I've dealt with my entire life. That kind of kept it all bottled up inside. Am I attracted to women? Absolutely. My track record seems to show that as well. You know, and I think that's part of the reason why, too, I never really acted on the feelings that I was having, was because I was always able to get girlfriends, and I would get in these monogamous relationships with women, and, you know, just basically relationship hop. There's even been some overlaps between girls, regretfully. But I've been successful at just living life as a completely straight person. So that's the way I chose to live for as long as I did. So as I said, 5 months ago, it's been 5 months, you know, 5 months ago, I finally decided to, I don't know why it just suddenly happened 5 months ago. You know, I'd gotten out of this quick little dating thing that I was involved with a very nice young lady. And I think I just finally realized, like, I needed to know what the hell was going on in my head. And you know, if I did actually like men. Eventually found myself going out on a date I met somebody, I met a guy, well, for now we'll call him Mark. So I was driving to this coffee shop to meet him, and it was in the middle of the day. That was part of the reason, was like, I wanted my first date to be in the middle of the day. I didn't want there to be any pressure, like sexually, or like to feel like I was gonna have to go do something that I had never done before or whatever. I wanted it to feel as low stakes and as comfortable as possible. And I was, you know, despite all those conditions being that way, I had a near-out panic attack on the drive there.
I'm mad about the boy.
And I texted my friend Mackenzie, who didn't know that, you know, she thought of me as a straight man. She was very surprised to hear that I was even going on a date with a guy. And she sort of calmed me down, and you know, so I get there, and you know, as you know, this whole time I'm driving my car, panicking, blasting Sleigh Bells, and I'm listening, and I'm panicking, and I'm thinking, like, I'm about to be sitting across from somebody on a date that has the exact same genitalia as I do. And then I got there, and you know, quickly into the date, I realized that I was on a date with somebody who was indeed a man, but did not have the same genitalia that I did. Mark was very candid with me right away about the fact that, you know, he was a transgender man. And to be honest, when he first said it, my brain didn't really fully register what he had said. I was like, wait, you look like a guy. And then I was thinking, like, oh, transgender man means somebody that was born with female parts, you know, biologically female, that is actually a man and presents as a man. It was a very strange experience to have that be my first gay date, or my first non-straight date, at least. You know, it felt like if dating a guy, if going on a date with a guy was you know, fucking college, going on a date with a trans guy felt like it was like grad school or like going to get my doctorate degree. And to have that be my first thing was like, you know, mind blowing. But having said that, you know, and I feel weird talking about this because now I'm like talking about Mark is just a prop in this story, but he wasn't. I very quickly, you know, fell for this guy, and it was very cool and an amazing experience. And we were only together for about 2 months. It didn't work out, but it was good for me because I had dove right into this world of queerness and exploring my own queer identity and what that looks like for me. And you know, very quickly I realized that I didn't like the idea of being called bisexual, or calling myself bisexual, because that whole bi thing feels tricky because that implies two. And you know, here I am dating a trans guy. Just didn't feel appropriate. And I'm already bipolar. I can't be bisexual. So I very quickly realized that I liked the idea of queer. And Mark was very good at being patient with me and explaining to me, you know, describing his own queer identity. And, you know, he said something very important to me early on, because, like, one thing that I was kind of bent out of shape about was, like, you know, I'm not saying that I look like the apex of heterosexuality, but, you know, I live in fucking Frogtown. I listen to like 1970s dad rock. I don't shave my chest, and I love Star Wars. And so much about me, other than the fact that I'm attracted to guys, feels so 100% straight. And Mark said something that's stuck with me and will stick with me for the rest of my life. He said the queerest thing about you can just be that you date guys, and that shattered a lot of these weird preconceived notions I had about what being not fully straight meant.
It seems that the wrath of the gods got a punch on the nose, and it started to flow. I think I might be sinking.
Like, the beginning of 2016 was the weirdest time of my life. Because of all this, you know, my grandmother had a stroke, my dog was dying for a little bit there. In the meantime, I'm going to work every single day, just for the most part trying to just keep it together. My life has felt like a very bad indie movie, for the last several months. And it's strange, but I've been enjoying myself.
Don't you know you're queen?
So my definition of queer in the beginning of the show and everything that I'm talking about, like it's very my personal outlook on things and my limited experience with all of that. So I don't like everything that I've ever talked about on this show. It shouldn't be considered a gospel at all or considered the absolute truth on anything because I never know what the fuck I'm talking about. But the whole reason I identify as queer and not bisexual, or, you know, anything else, or gay or whatever, is because it seems like the best fit for what I've experienced so far, which really isn't much, but I've learned more about myself in these last couple months than I ever have in regards to my sexual orientation and gender identity and all that stuff. Queer sounds nice to me, that blanket term that I was describing earlier, and it also describes this all-over feeling that I have that I'm not attracted to just this one type of person that I thought I was my entire life, or that I was committed to being attracted to my entire life. You know, where I stand now, I mean, well, I guess for starters, why am I even talking about this on the podcast? It's weird. I'm debating whether or not I'm even going to drop this episode because, you know, I'm still dealing with a lot of those self-hatey things and I'm working on them. I'm talking about it because podcasting has been so hard since all of this has started. And that may sound like a joke, but it's not. You know, on this show, I've talked about the most personal stuff that's ever happened to me in my life, you know, and I've always been so candid about specifically relationships and exes. An ex-girlfriend actually accused me of being obsessed with exes because of this show, and I was talking about them so much. It's been so hard because I've just been keeping this part of my life completely outside of the menu of things that I can talk about on the show. That's why there's been so many show episodes that are just bits and you know, things that are like not even real. And I've zeroed in so much on getting people to interview and things of that nature. And it just felt like it was time to talk about all this. And, you know, if in the off chance there's somebody else that's, you know, questioning or is doing stuff on the down low and the discreet, you know, maybe this will help them too. I don't know. I highly doubt this show has ever helped anybody but me, but maybe hearing this would help somebody potentially if they're going through similar things, you know, and now I'm hoping that, you know, talking about this has added this subject matter and this part of my life to what I can talk about on the podcast if I choose to keep going on with this podcast, because and that doesn't mean I'm going to get, I mean, I don't even know why I have to qualify this, but I'm not going to get into super specifics on people I'm dating and things that we're doing, because honestly it's still all very kind of fucking terrifying to me. But I can at least have it be something that's out there for when I do want to talk about it. And when it does come up, and when I am talking to a guest and they're talking about their significant other and I'm just sitting there silently because I don't want to talk about the fact that I kind of like boys and have kind of liked boys for the majority of my life. You know, I'm going to be 27 in a week. I didn't think that I would be 27 and 3 years sober and just finally realize that I should try to date guys. I didn't think it would take this long. I didn't think that all of these things that have happened in my life would finally, you know, bring about this the courage to act on feelings and talk about it with even my closest friends. Because I didn't talk about it with my closest friends even. I kept it all to myself. You know, and taking into account, too, that my heterosexual relationships have been completely fucked up. But there's no part of me that's delusional and that thinks, you know, dating guys is going to, like, magically take that away. I don't think that how fucked up my hetero relationships have been is because the fact that I'm dating women. I think it's because I am me and I don't know how to be a good partner. Which is something else that I need to figure out and work on. This was going to be the last episode. That wasn't a joke. Sure, part of it was the fact that Evan's episode got corrupted and didn't drop. It felt like a waste of energy, but it was actually, you know, all of this stuff that I've been talking about and keeping it bottled up inside, and just this feeling of, like, you know, like, why did I even start doing this in the first place? You know, that's a question that I've never really asked myself and have never talked about on the show. I was in a situation where I was not creating my own material. I was not on the ground floor of something creatively. And this seemed like the quickest, cheapest, easiest way to do that. And combined all the things that I like, creating my own little universe and talking until my throat goes hoarse and trying, emphasis on trying, to make people laugh. But now I'm in a situation where I'm working on a couple different creative things at once, and this isn't the only endeavor I have anymore. This isn't the only outlet. But I think the thing that separates this from everything else is this is always where I've been so completely honest. Even when I'm lying, or when I'm interviewing a homeschool advocate cult leader, or the CEO of Qdoba, or a Blues Brothers cover band. I have always tried to put myself out here as just how I am, and it's been so incredibly helpful because, honestly, I started this show last fall. Last fall, I was not in a good place. I was not at my worst, but I was definitely not at my best. And the show has completely helped. And part of the reason why I'm considering discontinuing it is because that honesty kind of just went away and was making way for fluff. I still think I've created some of the best episodes, you know, in these last 5 months, but I also think that I have lost sight of why I like doing this and started focusing more on what I think people would want to hear. So the question is this going to be my last episode? And to be honest, when I hit record on this episode, I was still on the fence about it because it was so hard to get a guest, because the written bits that I had prepared fell through because of various people not being able to come help me. It just seemed all like a sign to stop doing this. And after basically just telling all of you that I'm not the apex of heterosexuality that you all thought I was, I feel a little bit lighter. I still have to edit this episode, but I think I'm going to continue doing this. And, those of you that have been around from the beginning, thank you for your support. Thank you for writing in with topics. Thank you for listening. This wasn't exactly the celebratory party type episode that I thought it was going to be, but I think this is one that needed to happen. And what better milestone than for it all to come to fruition. Please stick around for hopefully the next 25. I think the show might look a little different from now on. It'll still have the same old asshole that you all know and love, but I'm going to start playing around with the format a little bit more. This isn't an interview show, and I don't know why I have gotten so bent out of shape about it being an interview show. It doesn't need to be an interview show. The show is about me. The description of the show actually says how self-absorbed that I am. And the point of this is to share what I'm thinking and what I'm going through. And I'm going to find the best way to facilitate that. And please follow me on Twitter. It's at Drew Kordick. And you can also submit any topic suggestions to thisamericandrew@gmail.com. Thank you so much for joining me today on This American Drew. Thank you for 25 episodes. We'll see you again. We'll see you again next time. This is Drew Kordick reminding you to have a good time every time.